time for another Little Shows That Couldn't. You can tell by that music that we're still watching Stella. Today we're watching episodes 3 and 4, Office Party and Coffee Shop. Mm-hmm. I'm your host, Brett Medill. With me, as always, co-host Sean Stewart.
I'd like to open the episode with a joke, if I may.
Well, I guess if you really feel the need.
I really do.
Okay, go for it.
What book-to-movie adaptation are the three guys from Stella most looking forward to?
I have no idea.
50 Shades of Yay!
Yay!
You know, I was stewing over that joke for the whole week, and I wasn't too confident.
Let's do it
in
one
it.
More time, except we're all going to
do
the
I felt
yay.
Like it went well. Yeah, I just feel like I nailed it just now. So, I feel good. I feel good about that.
Okay. I just got it.
Yeah? And, Steve Carton joining us.
Yeah, we're having a guest today, of course, as you can tell. You read that in the title, but here we have our guest. Steve Carton joins us for the first time since Clerks.
You bet. Clerks, the animated series.
So he's back, and so let's just start this off here. Well, I mean, welcome back, Steve. Hi.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. It's great to be back.
Play your cards right, and you can stay.
Fantastic.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, we're going to lead off, of course, with episode 3 here. It's Office Party. They went to an office party in one of the shorts.
Yeah,
but this
unlike
one doesn't
the office
really
party in the shorts.
It's not really like that.
It's not a Die Hard parody.
Yeah.
But it's still funny.
Yeah, I mean, I like my Die Hard parodied as often as possible, really. But, you know, what can you do? This episode, of course, so they do the office party thing. The plot summary in this one is the guys basically talk their way or guilt their way into having one of their neighbors, Amy, include them in their office party. They get slighted at the office party. They come back for revenge. They earn a jobs, which then, of course, they lose almost immediately because they are terrible. So that's the basic plot. So they start off with a quick little house of cards happening.
In the most asinine way possible. Like, they're wearing goggles. They have oven mitts on, and they're using spatulas to move the cards. It's the most ridiculous way to construct a house of cards.
But also, they specifically need the Queen of Hearts.
Right.
Like that is the card he asked for because, as we all know, the face on the card has many
everything
implications
to do
in its structural integrity.
Exactly. Everything it has to do with that, for sure. And then, as you said, Amy, played by Samantha Buck, comes in looking for some super glue because she broke a heel. Mm-hmm. And the guys proceed to tear up their apartment looking for super glue.
Yeah. I mean, really, this... We can go through. I mean, I don't know. Do we really want to go point by point? They get to the party. I mean, we got to establish whether or not the dip is warm.
For sure.
If you don't know what the, I mean, these guys. Immediately, what I'm thinking here is in this episode they are suited adolescent toddlers. Like they're adolescent toddlers
in this episode
in suits all the time.
Okay, I would argue all the time.
In this episode, immediately, they tear apart the apartment, and then when they get to the party, immediately they go into, is the dip warm? They're touching all the food. David's doing breadstick walrus.
Right after Amy tells them to behave themselves.
Yeah.
No, of course. Yeah.
They act out immediately. And, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this episode hits, we'll go through some of it, but I mean, it hits a lot of the same kind of, you can narrow down exactly the types of jokes that they do, you know, and they bring them back over and over again. The mustaches, disguises, accents and voices, dismissiveness. There's a bunch of like rhythm jokes, you know, jokes that are just funny because somebody says something and then it's kind of meta because Michael says, then I say something, you know, like, say something. That's a great joke because, I mean, he could have said anything there and it's like, that's the spot for the joke and the rhythm, right?
Right.
And then, of course, you know, you get the painfully cartoonish acting. A lot of it from Paul Rudd and Joe Latruglio in this episode.
Guest starring is Greg and Ansel.
Yeah, and then just kind of some.
They're in charge of the big account. They're big wigs.
Well, yeah,
the office.
They're important guys. Then then just a lot of general absurdity and comedic over and understatement. You know, like they hit those marks over and over again in this episode. And yeah, it starts right off the hop there. And then I
also love how Joe Latruglio is just the biggest dickhead. And he's like the first time you see him, he's popping peanuts in his mouth, like
fake peanuts. There's no peanuts.
So? I don't know. He's a good actor. He looked like he had some actual peanuts.
He was doing bad overacting right there.
Was
what
he?
I'm pretty sure is what we were seeing.
But it was funny watching him pop quote unquote peanuts in his mouth while him and Paul Rudd just tear the guys down. And make them leave.
They
hurt their feelings and force them out of the party.
They succeed to hurt their feelings, and they have to go home and cry and have a phone conversation from their bedrooms with each other. That's another thing that they implement in this episode that they reuse is split screen. It's another thing. They use it in coffee shop
as well. They use it in coffee shop as well. I don't recall them using it in the first two episodes.
Maybe not. But it's definitely something that they end up using again. The guys, I don't think, get separated a whole lot in those first episodes.
That's true,
Of course, David knows Sam Rockwell. Sam Rockwell doesn't
Gary Meadows.
Well, Sam Rockwell's not delivering pizza this time.
No.
He's forcing...
Or attacking Splinter or...
That's correct.
Or working for the Shredder.
Yeah.
I just watched Ninja Turtles recently, and seeing him is just... It blew my mind. My God, that's...
Like the teen foot soldiers or
whatever. Yeah, he was the one asking for, or not asking for cigarettes, but providing cigarettes for some of the Foot Clan.
So he's a good guy.
He's a really good guy, yeah. And in this one, he's their mustache dealer.
Yes.
Mustache dealer or costume dealer?
Their costume guy, but I think what they throw in. Because the fake mustache is the entire costume, and it's all that's needed.
That's true.
Like, it's pretty much once they've got it on, they're entirely different people.
Right. Yeah, and it's very they make it very clear that it's the mustache. Mm. Removal of the mustache is what reveals who they really are.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter what else happens. It's in the reality of Stella, a mustache is a disguise.
A complete disguise.
Yes.
And Gary Meadows even hooks them up with a vehicle... Straight out of the 1920s.
A really sweet hot rod that got turned on an absolute zero times on set.
It over to the field, threw in a smoke machine, and just said, "That's a wrap."
They did produce an impressive amount of smoke from a car that had never been turned on.
Yeah, totally.
And then just in the, I'm sure if you were watching closed caption, it would be car engine sound.
Oh, yeah, just for sure.
And that was the most that car got.
Basically, just like the most standard car sound you can find on like Ableton or something.
We borrowed this car from a guy who's making his own private life-size diorama of Archie's Riverdale.
Yeah, exactly.
We got it from a guy in a mustache den.
It's Greased Lightning. It was really... That's a terrible... It's just awful how obvious that car had never been done anywhere. And, I don't know, man.
But they joined the company picnic using their disguises.
Yes, they're from Houston, obviously, which is in Canada.
Yep. Well, is it, though? I mean, they say they're from Houston, but they have Canadian... Maybe they, like transferred from Canada, maybe?
Sure, it's possible.
Maybe.
I don't know. Or maybe it's funny that the guys think that Houston's in Canada.
And that Pierre Trudeau is still the prime minister in 2005.
Exactly. And then, of course, so then they get into the games.
Right.
Tug of war comes to mind.
Egg race, sack race, all the races.
A tug of war that happens between the three guys
versus the entirety
of the other picnic.
Bobbing for apples, all the things, all the games. And they win all the games. They're the best at everything.
They sure are.
Yeah, they shine. It's their like one moment where they're all actually gifted at something when you think about it.
Which is nothing.
Pretty much nothing.
I mean, holding an egg on a spoon, it's something that, you know, some can do better than others, but it still chalks up to nothing.
Well, when we see that they spend their time making houses of cards in the difficult manner that they do.
Right.
It seems as though the way they spend their time, obviously they don't have jobs. Their job appears to be to hang out. And that they out in incredibly specific ways.
Right.
Like building that particular house of cards or whatever. Exactly. So one can presume like maybe they spent a few weeks practicing up egg races, you know, like last summer from one of their earlier scams or
possibly
misadventures.
Yeah. That's very possible.
I mean, if they're not doing anything else in their suits all day but fucking around,
I mean, can you blame them? What else are they going to do in suits? Work? Come on.
They look like they're working no matter what they do. That's what's so great about a suit.
Exactly. Sack racing? I'm at work.
Yeah.
Putting in some overtime.
Three-legged race? Yeah.
Tug of war? I mean, yeah. Just at the office. Having a little tug of war.
Got a promotion.
Yep.
Maverick spirit. They get blue ribbons and trophies, and then they get hired and they for having Maverick spirit.
That's right.
And they get in charge of the big account.
But they're not going to leave that without fulfilling the original joke job that they were given.
Right.
Cleaning up pony poop.
That's right.
The one that Paul Rudd thought they weren't qualified for.
And they were.
Well, you know what? I think they were qualified.
They brought shovels and everything.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's all you really need for horse poop. Pony poop.
So then so they get the job. They're not going to actually do it, though.
No. Why would they?
Or pay attention to any of the research that's been done. And then they're going to show up late for the meeting, maybe wearing a lobster bib or not. You know?
And tuxedos.
Yeah.
Because that's where you wear it.
And then they proceed to perform a Tim and Eric episode.
For their meeting.
Yeah, as a presentation. David pours a jar of applesauce in his pants. That's pretty good. Things that are American, chicken tikka marsala, Chinese people.
Yeah.
Well, that's at the end with the rant about the citizens of America.
A rainbow choir comes in.
And yeah, it's just the worst presentation.
Things escalate quickly.
I don't know what I still have no idea what the hell happened.
Well, it opens with them morphing from cats into people,
right? And then it just constant stock footage of like Hitler and money and deer and bunnies.
Yeah, a lot of public domain
just
stuff.
Absolute nonsense.
And with sounds that match nothing of what you're seeing. Like it was screaming.
Just
and
a dark
like,
laughter, yeah, like, screams. Yeah, yeah.
It
even got a slow clap from the manager, and you'd think like, no, he didn't just buy that presentation, did he?
That was the
and
worst.
It was, yeah.
I hated every moment of that.
That was the worst presentation I've ever seen in my life.
He starts a slow clap out of anger.
Yeah.
So rarely seen.
Very rarely seen. There's not a lot of difference between the guys in this episode.
Not really.
David's a kind of
they're all kind of one hive mind of awful terribleness.
David's like a pantsless creep at one point.
Right.
But that's about it. Like, David does a bit of creeping around a little, but that's about it for differentiating
between
the characters.
Well, a lot. He does a lot of creeping around.
In the office party. You know, we get the mustaches, they reveal, you know, but it's ultimately, I don't know. I don't really like this episode.
No?
I don't think so.
Not big on it?
It's not great.
Yeah, like, in the end, when the people coming into the office saying, hang on a second, you're fired. Hang on a second, you're under indictment. Hang on a second.
I'm the mayor.
A lot of one-upsmanship until they get to the mayor.
And then suddenly the citizens are in charge.
Yeah,
and then the mayor gives Amy the big account for some reason.
Because why not?
And all ends well.
Hooray!
Yay! Well, it doesn't end well for Sam Rockwell at the end of it.
Deus
Not
Ex
really,
Machina.
No.
Yeah, in the
coda, we go back to the mustache stand at the end.
In the coda, they're all chilling with stashes.
Yeah. But Gary grew his own and gets ripped off. And they give that awful joke about Bloody Gary. And
yes.
Everybody laughs.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think on to number four,
and
guys.
And we go to coffee shop.
To the coffee shop.
So,
which opens up, coffee shop opens up with some barbershop. A barbershop trio.
Yeah.
Which is roughly three quarters as good as a terrible quartet.
Yep.
Nobody wants to hear barbershop quartet. Even fewer people would like to hear barbershop trio. But they'd like to see a barbershop trio
the money's
walking
out
around.
There. The money's out there for that stuff.
Like, don't get me wrong. I'd like to invest in a barbershop suit just to wear around.
Absolutely.
You know, it's attention getting.
Oh, the stripes and the colors, obviously.
Like, they were wasting theirs because they were inside when I saw them wearing
them. Well, they were rehearsing. I mean, you got to get in the full garb if you're going to rehearse, too.
Well, then I'm disappointed that I didn't get to see them doing their trio work
Now that you mention it, I'm super pissed, too.
Yeah, the world needed to see some barbershop trio. I wanted to see them get their asses kicked for that, you know? Go out in the street and get lit on fire for having the nerve to try that
How
crap.
Dare you? Harmonica? Really?
This is Brooklyn, but it's not that Brooklyn.
Right. We're in the 2000s now.
We're not in that deep of a Brooklyn currently.
It'll come back, though.
It's not hipstery enough in this part of Brooklyn to put up with that yet. Fire, immolation, cleansed souls from the world.
That's right.
Sweet cleansing fire, friends. It's the only thing that'll save you. And the Stella boys know that deep down in their hearts.
Yep.
And so they get stoked because they decide instead to do something differently. Why not go hang out in a coffee shop? By immediately adopting different voices and accents, like California surfer ones for no apparent reason.
Totally.
Totally.
Because, yeah, they need a place to hang out. Why not coffee shops? It's the ultimate hang zone.
But a place that doesn't cost anything.
Yeah. So somewhere they could go for free that isn't like a library where you have to be quiet. Mm-hmm. And
a place you can apparently move into.
Yeah, right. Of course.
Yes,
like
because
do your laundry. And
they immediately get there and start doing anything but the things that they should be doing.
Right.
David's mixing up instant coffee with Folgers. He gets the hot plate going. He's like making stew or soup or something. Yeah.
The guys have the clothesline hanging.
Yeah.
Their washed clothes from wherever they wash them.
Trimming toenails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trimming toenails. Have a nap time.
Coming out of the washroom with a towel across over their head and robes on as if they just showered in there.
Right.
Where did all the steam come from in a coffee shop bathroom?
Exactly. Yeah. Full of steam.
It's disconcerting. He must have had sex with a hobo in order to create all that steam.
Well, you could have brought a steamer in the bathroom, too. You never know. Like, they have those
Yeah,
frothers.
That seems more likely than hobo sex. A guy who walks around with his own personal steamer.
I'm a cup half full kind of guy. If you,
what
if
makes
you know
you,
me.
Hey, that.
And not,
I
not that I think that hobo sex is negative.
That's what I'm saying. No, cup half full, make a hobo's day.
Okay, fair enough.
With a little coffee shop bathroom sex.
I'm just saying maybe sex didn't happen in the bathroom, is all I'm trying to say.
Okay, well, maybe it didn't. But I'm kind of a glass half full kind of guy. And I like to think that it did.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll agree to disagree. And you could sound off in the comments if you want. And,
yeah, it's, it turns out it's a pretty good great hang zone until they get kicked out because Mike Show gets a job there.
Well, he gets a little sidetracked. You know, he's in his early
20s. Yeah, he's almost
He hasn't
21.
Contributed anything to society. And Richard, played by Alan Ruck, kind of shows him the way that maybe there's something more to than just
hanging out. Get
out
of here, Cameron. Go ruin your dad's car.
Yeah.
One thing we glossed over is that this episode is told through a flashback.
Yeah. Right.
The girls come to the apartment and they're having...
Well, they're having problems.
They're having trio problems.
They're having issues.
They get some trio advice from the suited up trio who clearly has advice to share.
And I mean, like, they start off drinking coffee, but then they end up like with lamb stew, like a giant pot of lamb stew, and they start chopping chicken for no reason.
Like every time they come back from the flashback, it's
some other different kind of meal or preparation or something.
Yeah. And in this episode, we get a lot more of the same kind of things. We get more dismissiveness, old timiness, cliches, lotion on clothes. We saw that in the first episode. That came back again. Finally, we got lotion on clothes after the tea tree oil on Dawn's socks in the first episode.
A lot of looking at the camera.
Yeah, looking at the camera. Right. Split screen tableau.
Right.
And then what else? Some Deus Ex Machina. Oh, and of course, empty, important-sounding bullcrap. Like when they're talking about something where they're using a serious tone without really saying anything. Like Sho and Michael Ian Black have an entire podcast dedicated to that kind of conversation called Topics, where they just talk like that for like 45 minutes. And it's like, it's really kind of an endurance contest to see if you can just put up with it for that long, in my opinion. But like, hey, it's something.
Long road trip.
There's comedy going on there, kind of. And, I don't know. Like, the girls seem to exist mostly to make a loud racket at the appropriate time.
Or to make
time.
Fun of the guys.
Yeah.
To, like, and that's make pretty loud much all they do.
Yeah, they just make loud noises when they're supposed to.
Yeah.
Just, like, make the right loud noises, and then the guys get to do what they do.
And then, well, they also introduce fudding as well. Buck fudding? What? No, sex didn't happen in the bathroom, Brett. This is what I'm trying to argue.
Right. Sorry, it's hard for me to get past. I'm sorry.
Right.
That's my bad. But this show, they go overboard with the dismissiveness sometimes. And like, what was it? With Alan Ruck, he's looking for work. What does Black say to him? He's just like, I know, right?
Yeah.
Oh, downsizing's a bitch.
Yeah,
I know, right? And Michael's face doesn't change at all.
So dismissive. David, of course, they go, so after they get kicked out.
So, yeah, Sho kicks them out after getting a job at Sainsbury.
So Black pulls out an old, table, and starts his own coffee shop across the street, where he gets his coffee in a Dixie cup for his customer by buying coffee at Mike Show's coffee shop.
Yeah. across the street.
The most ridiculous, like, hobo coffee shop that you could imagine. And David works with him, and he is the worst employee in the world.
Does he work with him, though? I mean,
well, he comes and sits there.
Yeah, you can't describe anything he does. He hangs at the Hang Zone.
He reads at the Hang Zone. He plays guitar, and then he gets kicked out. All right.
But then he goes and starts his own coffee shop, and it's just the best coffee shop.
He's like, I'll show them, as he's painting a handmade wooden sign that hangs out in front of a storefront that is now fully furnished and ready for patrons who come in droves.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Like, he walks in, and it's like the place is huge. It's like he walks through several rooms or something before he even gets to, like, the main room.
Right.
And when he gets there, there's, like, a crowd of people immediately behind him already.
Yeah, asking for coffee.
And the coffee is ready!
Prepared carafes of coffee. I mean, well, this coffee shop has it all.
I mean, presumably he was up to something while he was painting. Like, the coffee must have been brewing while he was painting that sign, you guys.
That's true. That's very true.
It would have had to have been.
A lot of time passes.
He's got his shit together.
When you're sign painting. Tom Sawyer and I can really relate to that. With this, right. With painting.
Totally.
Painting, wood painting. Painting on wood.
Yeah.
Chores, am I right?
So right.
A bunch of different colors.
Yeah.
Paint.
Welcome back to Mark Twain with Brett and Sean. So, I really want to say that this show is really well shot. It just keeps coming up. It's beautiful to look at, this show, in a lot of ways.
It is.
It's easy on the eyes. Unfortunately, the content is so insane that not enough people could get on board with it at the time.
You know what? Even still now, it's probably going to be hard for a lot of people.
Well, if it was on Adult Swim, people would be down, man.
I wonder if they have aired on Adult Swim. I imagine they would have by now.
No, it's a Comedy Central. Comedy Central shows don't usually go to Adult Swim, do they? Or I guess they do South Park, probably. But anyway, David, he's got an immediately successful place. He's having... but he's miserable. Everybody's miserable.
Because they're distant.
Show is miserable with his crappy corporate job.
Yep.
Black is miserable with his solo job.
With his non-job.
Yeah. And his only customer, who is Alan Ruck, apparently.
Who just keeps coming back for some reason.
For no reason. Yeah. Really
and,
no reason.
David Wayne, of course, is super, super disappointed with the sex that he's having.
The super hot sex with the super hot blonde.
Non-plussed sex.
Super successful coffee shop and...
While he's
getting
still
rave
in
as
at
well.
Least half of his suit.
But they're miserable. But they're miserable.
As far as we know.
So they got to come back together again. And of course, David's got to be wearing shades at night and a leather Sam Jackson hat for no reason, because that's really the lifestyle he's living
now. He's a fancy coffee shop guy now.
Yeah. And, you know, but they're going to bond again. You know, they miss each other. And they say, screw it. They don't need this. It's Deus Ex Machina time, guys. They don't need coffee shops. Because guess what?
They have each other.
These guys have never needed jobs.
That's true.
They've always been without them. And so at the end of the episode, they kind of go, oh, wait, right. No jobs.
And as far as we're concerned, like we said in the first episode, they're just like the richest pieces of shit with like the deepest trust funds.
Yeah. They're just like living really tripping to life, fantastic, bored lives. And so kind of like an early version of, I guess, Nick Kroll's Rich Dicks, that John Daly and
kind
Nick
of,
Kroll's
yeah.
Rich Dicks could be seen as like a more reality-based version of that. This is almost like those guys, but several generations even more removed, like even richer rich dicks, where they're just like
definitely.
Reality doesn't even apply to them. They're not even like those characters still ended up going to like a Walmart here or there, or having like a mansion and like a housekeeper and stuff. These guys are so rich that these guys are living like some sort of weird Howard Hughes lives.
Yeah.
Like they just don't make sense anymore. They're unhinged from reality.
Exactly.
These guys are so rich that they're allowed to be cartoons. But we get a really nice espresso montage, well shot and really nice, where they make some espresso at home.
We also get the religion discussion between both the two mics.
Empty, important sounding talk.
If you've followed Mike's show and Michael Ian Black up to this point, you've probably heard this religion discussion 1,500 times, because it's the exact same discussion.
Hey, I don't think that there's like a big guy with like a long white beard.
Yeah,
right.
Just sitting on a throne.
Like, he's not, you know, just...
Like, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
like,
no, I mean, for sure, for sure.
But like, he's not sitting on a cloud. Like, he, it could be this table.
It is. It has to. It, I think so.
But yeah.
But yeah. So Alan Ruck knows where they live, apparently.
Right.
So as does everybody Julie. Else. As does David's entire clientele, right. who all just Deus Ex Machina their way into the apartment.
So
and
then they
start
all have coffee,
having a time, and Alan Ruck and Julie like make out, and it's, hey, everything's okay.
Everything worked out great.
Absolutely. Did we get a coda in this episode? What happens at the end? Nothing. That is the coda.
Well,
everybody finds
Richard
them.
Inherits the hang zone from Michael.
Right.
Ian Black. And then, yeah, Richard and Julie hook up.
Boom.
But then it turns out they didn't really like each other that much, so. They,
a better episode. Out. I think that episode is better.
I think so. I think you're
right. The first one. It's time to play a little game. Steve, ooh. Steve. We're going to play a round of spin-off salad.
Ooh.
You sound very enthused.
Steve, which character that you observed in these two episodes would you take and like to give their own show?
Gary from...
Gary from Meadows?
Gary Meadows? Gary Meadows?
The Sam Rockwell character. What? Because he's already, like... He's got the girlfriend. He's got the stash of stashes. He's got, you know, like, I feel it could be like a Better Call Saul kind of thing where he's just
okay,
like, he
yeah.
shows up to
All
help
right.
the characters.
All right. We're and delving. Then, like, we're getting into the Imaginarium.
Yeah. Like, it,
we're digging
it,
in.
If you could, I think there was a character like on The Outlier, that'd be him because,
oh,
you know,
sure.
like, he's got stuff happening. He shows up. He's going to, you know, he's got a seedy business, apparently.
Is it a half-hour sitcom comedy, or is it a drama? What format is Gary the Gary yeah. Meadows show? And what is he up to mostly? So is he just like, are we watching him deal mustaches and disguises weekly? Kind of seeing what sort of Jimmy Jams he gets himself
yeah,
into and out
of? Yeah, I think
it's going
to be like a drama, but only when the Stella guys show up does it become a comedy, because that is how they affect the real world. Like, if we were
For
to
sure.
look at it, like, how everybody else in the Stella universe seems to be having a real life,
right.
except these three guys. So if you're going to take that character, he's still going to be living in the real... He's going to be, like, dodging cops. He's got his relationship with his girlfriend, who uses
China.
His stuff. Yeah.
So mustache dealing is probably like a very small part of his business that just these weird cartoonish characters
well,
engage him with.
If they're these super rich guys, why wouldn't he cater to them specifically?
Exactly.
And then, of course, when they come into his place, there's other guys hanging out, but they're there for drugs. They're there for, you know, actual illicit criminal activity. So he's
disguising them with the mustaches.
Exactly. And the
Steve, you just blew my fucking mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest.
Hey, man, do you have any... stashes. I've got a shipment coming in though, man. Talk to me in a couple days and I'll hook you up. But I'll tell you, they don't come cheap.
No. Exactly.
Right?
No.
Okay. Well, that's
especially
sort of.
He
the
saw his opportunity and he took it with these guys. So I think if he were to get a show, you could do something there with that.
The Absolutely. Opportunist.
Yeah, exactly.
Gary Meadows is the opportunist. All right, we're going to play another game. I like that one. That was good. Spin-off salad
Thanks.
Is a winner. Theme song karaoke.
Oh, boy.
Now, I want you to sing the theme song to Stella. Make up the words.
Oh, jeez.
We should really have the music
oh,
playing.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
No.
We're just going to do it. We're just going to do bareback. No music. No music bareback.
Oh,
shit.
We're doing this bit without a net.
Oh boy.
Oh snap.
No safety net. Hey, no rubber.
Giver.
No protection.
I wish I could remember more of it now. If you had told
make
me earlier.
Up, no, you're gonna make up your own theme song. All
right.
Then.
I'm playing it in my head.
Hey, you can
so
try
just...
and sing it to the theme song it actually had, or you can or not.
Okay.
Give us,
or just make
needs,
up your own.
Yeah, I mean. It doesn't even need to have words. It could just be a tune. But I want to know, like, I want you to produce a tune that, in your heart and mind, captures the essence of Stella.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to be long, because most current shows have very short theme songs.
Yeah.
But so
true.
The pressure's not on. But just, you know, just
but
like
it
a very...
is on.
But
so
just
don't,
like a very...
don't get too comfortable.
But, like, no screwing around. Just like a very, very short piece of Genius.
So no pressure.
No pressure.
Luckily, I've got that in my pocket.
Perfect.
We're all waiting.
Welcome to Stella with Michael and some guy named David. They live above these three girls. Time to hang out in the fun zone.
I want to point out that
I just generated a bunch of different tones and I'll hit all kinds of levels.
Oh, you nailed it.
I'm almost certain that was just one long foghorn sound that everyone else is going to hear. In fact, we could even edit that in later, and I wouldn't notice the difference. I'd be like, man, I nailed that.
Steve's voice is like a Neil Young solo. It's all on one note.
Right, yeah.
One note just over and over again in different ways. Boop, 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 boop. I'm actually making different tones right now. I can't
even
do it.
That's a one-note song.
And I'm pretty sure that's how music is made.
That is how music is made, yeah.
So thank you.
You pick one note on one string, yeah. And you just play it a bunch of times.
I never picked the note, though. This is what was given.
Right, yeah.
This is all I got.
You were genetically fixed with a note.
Yeah.
It's just a random mix of notes.
That's all right.
And bravados and staccatos. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore.
We're going to have to pick an MVP, Sean.
I know, right?
What do you think? Steve, MVP.
Yeah, you go first, Steve.
We'll come back around for reasons. Let's just pick Amy. Okay.
Amy. Interesting. Okay.
MVP.
I'm gonna go Michaeline Black one more time.
You picked Michaeline Black last time?
I did.
I don't remember who I picked last time.
I know who you picked last time.
Oh, I'll bet you do. This time I am picking Joe Latruglio.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Okay, and reasons. Steven.
She lands the big account at the end. Sure, that was given to her by the mayor, and it's probably just because where she was sitting. But good on her for being right there, right at the time of town. And the courage when she goes into the guy's apartment asking for super glue and then being forced to take them to the party in the first place. They kind of invited themselves to this party. Yeah, they literally gave her no choice. Yeah. And I think that was really brave.
And in the coffee shop episode, Amy, also they all get a conclusion of their problems, too.
That's right.
So that's kind of a good thing.
Totally. And I think it's her who makes Elmer fudding when she's talking about the guy as a couple of Donald Twumps.
Uh-huh. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. I think you're right.
Uh-huh. I liked that she gave us fudding.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Sean?
Well, Michaeline Black. Uh-huh. Well, you got to let me say something
before you
do things. I was a big fan of Michaeline Black in the office party when he was test driving out the office in that one scene. And, you know, sticking his fingers in the dip, making sure it was room temperature, all that stuff. And in the coffee shop episode, when he opens up his own coffee shop, it's the worst. It's like literally the worst coffee shop you can imagine. And it makes no sense it even exists. And he powers through it. He manages to like keep it going for a weekend, maybe. I don't know. He keeps doing it. You're so right. You got to give him. He's got moxie.
It was definitely enough times for Alan Ruck to get to his 10th cup of coffee, so which maybe was like for free. So.
To be fair, it would not take that long to get through 10 Dixie cups of coffee. They were basically like 2 ounces.
Yeah, that's another solid point. Yeah,
that is a good point.
It takes three or four of those to make one regular cup.
He even tries to bring in customers with his sports bar TV at the end there. But I mean,
does that just mean he like watches TV outside at night?
Yeah, exactly.
It's his initiative.
Michaeline Black slowly becoming homeless is a business.
I have
a business idea. I'm going to become homeless. I'm going to start doing what I do already, but outside where people can throw money at me.
Exactly.
And I picked Joe Latruglio because his peanut popping annoyed the shit out of me. And I think that's really comedic genius. It takes that to over-the-top cartoonishness. He had some great facial expressions, and his hair looked really bad, and I really liked how bad his hair looked.
I liked his hair. I don't know. He looked a lot younger, and, so maybe that's why.
Yeah, it's just he was Joe Latruglio, and I've always been a fan, and I saw him, and I liked it.
Cool.
Great.
Cool. Great.
I mean, yeah.
I know, right?
So, like,
thanks for listening to, I mean, like, is there any other conclusions
the fuck this was.
We can make
Any conclusions? I don't think so.
Yeah, the cussing.
This show lasted one season for good reason, probably.
Probably.
That's probably the only conclusion we can come up
with
at this point.
Despite how much we like it.
Yeah.
But it's not like these guys aren't working anymore. Like we said in the last
episode,
they're
all over the place.
Wayne is directing Children's Hospital, and he just got a series for Wet Hot American Summer on Netflix.
That's right.
So that's something to look forward to.
And they're all going to be in it.
Yep.
Well, David won't be in it, probably.
He'll be directing the shit out of that.
But Black and Show will be in it.
Oh, yeah.
It's entitled The First Day of Camp, I believe.
It'll be interesting.
It's going to be like that 8 episodes or 10 episodes or whatever, but it all takes place on one day, setting up the movie.
Cool.
As the last, because the movie takes place on the last day.
On the last day, right.
Right.
So, yeah. Nice. That's it for another episode of the little shows that couldn't.
Part dose.
Stellar part dose. You can check us out, littleshowspod.com, Twitter at littleshowspod, Instagram at littleshowspod, Sean's at Sean Stewman, I'm at Brett Mad, Steve's at who cares. He's at nothing.
Do you even have Twitter, Steve?
I do not.
Oh, well, there you go.
Steve
it both
Cartman.
Bewilders and terrifies me.
Steve Cartman can't be found online, doesn't have a smartphone. Thanks for listening.
Thanks but for joining us, Steve.
Hit us up on our social medias. Hit Steve up on nothing.
Come on by and pay me a visit. I'll tell you the address later.
Yep.
Find Steve. Dox him. Locate him somehow through his internet trail. See what you can do. I know you can, kids.
Go through
the
deep web.
You're all capable of something.
No one can find you there.
Don't swat Steve, whatever you do.
Yeah, don't do that.
Steve doesn't need to be swatted. You want to share your gamer tag or something, Steve? Is that the only social media Steve has is his gamer tag?
I'm going to hold that back for now.
Yeah, you're going to keep that.
I think that's going to be
You'll get so many friend requests. It's going
to
blow
your face
off.
You don't want people who like Stella to be your friends on Xbox?
I'm really enjoying still being anonymous.
You want to meet them in person, right?
Yeah, first, and then we'll hey, we should game.
Yeah.
Sometime.
You don't that's gaming's kind of a big friendship step for you.
It is. Totally. It's true.
You're going to need to bowl with them in person or golf or something first before you can make
mini
that
putt.
Step. Yeah, mini putt. Anything else? Any other sort of semi-serious, semi-formal sports that you need to play with anyone?
Airsoft. Airsoft is a fun
game.
Competitive skydiving.
Competitive skydiving.
Okay. Interesting.
Frolf. Does Frolf help you determine whether you can be friends with someone?
Oh, absolutely. Well, Frolf tells you a lot about people's ideologies.
That's
and
true.
Their,
That's very true.
Like what's really on the inside. So
yeah.
You're right.
It's an intense.
It's a soul-bearing experience. It is. Interesting. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks. Bye.